This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show rolls along here. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are diving headfirst into the NFL offseason. The franchise tag window opened up yesterday. The NFL Combine starts next week.
I'm thinking of, like, those silly videos of, like, people jumping onto, like, ice lakes and, like, just, like...
Oh, and forgetting that it was, in fact, winter and that might be ice.
And it's like, solid. That's how we're diving in headfirst right now. Because it is that cold out.
It's so cold. It is so cold. What did Jeremy say it was this morning? Like, it felt like minus one.
Real field minus one.
Oh, that is not great.
We're gonna actually went down when I walked into the building.
Oh, did it? Oh, boy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Let's go now to the Wester Hotline, where hopefully he's dealing with more warm weather. Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network. Ryan, man, great to talk to you. You're not dealing with Arctic weather, correct?
Hey, Philadelphia is not that much warmer.
Oh, I'm but so sorry.
There we go.
Bad all right. Buffalo.
Yeah, all right. We're all battling through it. I was hoping you'd be like, oh, man, I'm in Florida, dude. It's 70. Like, I'd live vicariously through you then, but in Philadelphia.
I
yeah, no.
I cold. Would.
Did you go to the parade for the Eagles, by the way, or did you kind of avoid that?
No. I'm from the DMV. Usually I'm a Commanders guy, okay. You know, being gold and blood. So I stayed far away from that, guys.
No, that's good for you. Although the Commanders now, with Daniels and everything going on there, that must be just so much fun.
It is. It really is. You know, finally, right? Been 30-plus years since, you know, they had a good quarterback in town. And RG3 was fun, right, for 1 year. But, but Jaden definitely looks like a guy for the future, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Ryan Fowler here on the Wester Hotline of the Draft Network. And, Ryan, you came out a lot last year with our show in the afternoon, Show Up in the Bulldog. And really, I wanted to connect with you again because the one guy seemingly no one was talking about with our wide receiver train going on here in Buffalo was Keon Coleman. He was sort of an afterthought, especially after – well, what's going to be next week's combine. And you came on, I think, with like a month left before the draft, and they're like, give us a name for a wide receiver. And you're like, how about Keon Coleman? And it turned out a month later, that was a guy that the Bills had been targeting. They ultimately go out and pick. And so from then on, I'm like, no, Ryan's my guy. He was there. He didn't go the normal route of maybe trade up or what have you. You went, you know, kind of in a different way, and I loved it.
Yeah. You know, Keon, look, first year, you know, could you say sometimes where you want to see a little bit more for him? Yeah, I think coming even out of Florida State, for me personally, I wanted to see a little bit more. I think the potential with the young man is through the roof. And I think this year where you're heading in right now, where both Mack and Amari are free agents, you know, he's going to be that bona fide wide receiver one and be that X for them moving into this year. But I think they will add maybe a Z receiver this year to complement Khalil and the tight end group as well. But Keon has all the potential in the world to be whatever he wants to be. It's just trying to fine tune that the finer portions of his game. And I just really like the kid. I'm glad he's and landed in Buffalo, and hopefully he and Josh can really develop that connection here the next few years.
Let's start there then with wide receivers. It doesn't seem to be the biggest need for the Bills. We're gonna hammer home that defensive class, the edge rusher, the defensive tackle, cornerback, safeties, the whole thing. But starting with the wide receivers, Ryan, it seems like the top end of this class is not at all what it was last year, but at least from what I've seen, maybe the end of the first round, second, maybe third round, there does seem to be pretty good value to be had.
Yeah, there's a really good group of guys, you know, and I will say this, there's some repetitive skill sets and some guys, you know, the Jalen Noels, the Jalen Royals of the world, even a guy I really like in this class is Xavier Restrepo from Miami. He's not going to wow anybody with size. He's not going to go out and run 4.4 in the 40. But he's just going to be a fundamentally good football player for a long, long time, similarly to how I looked at Khalil Shakir coming out of Boise State. But I think when you look at what the Bills need right now, let's just say you enter this year right now where you got Keon, you got Khalil, and Curtis Samuel as that rotational piece. If you really want that Z type of receiver to expand a playbook, I don't think you need to go there at the back end of round one, and I don't think you need to go there in round two. I look at round three, and there's one player specifically that I really like, and that's Lajonte Wester out of Colorado. And everybody, when they thought about the Buffaloes this year, it was Shadur, it was Travis Hunter. But Lajonte is a guy from a transfer from FAU. The explosiveness and the separation has always been just something that's been like an elite trait for me when watching Lajonte. And coming into an offense with the Bills where you're not asked to be a top two target in this offense, you're asked to be a playbook extender and also a guy that can be a multi-phase contributor on special teams. He's an electric football player that dominated in one-on-one scenarios down there at the Shrine Bowl, where I get it, it's usually set up for the offensive guys to succeed in that scenario, but just the separation, the hands, and the quickness are absolutely electric. And a lot of talk about Ted Johnson as far as the premier smaller guy in this class, but Lajonte Wester on day three, if he gets there, and if I'm Buffalo and I'm Brandon Bean looking at this thing, he's going to be a prioritization for me as far as a guy that can come in right away and be a guy that can do a lot of different things for me in this offense.
One of the guys you mentioned there that I want to get your thoughts on because I really liked him at the Senior Bowl was Jalen Royals out of Utah State. He kind of seems to fit the bill that a lot of Bills fans are looking for the Bills to add, kind of a faster guy, not necessarily small, but maybe that more traditional outside boundary wide receiver. What have you seen from him?
Extremely physical kid. You know, as a small school kid coming in from Utah State, you want to see how these guys look live. And he looked as NFL ready from a body profile perspective as anybody down there at the Senior Bowl, and the ways in which he won. You know, you mentioned he can play inside, he can play outside and profile there, but his release package was outstanding, and also he blew Jonathan Edwards from Tulane off the ball 5 yards when he wanted to press him at the line of scrimmage in one-on-one. So just saying, hey, look, I can beat you in so many different ways, and then also I'm dynamic after the catch, and I have excellent hands, and one thing about Jalen, he's going to block his tail off on the outside and be that further extension of the ground game. So, you know, if the Bills want to prioritize him in the back end of day one, if he's there, I wouldn't be shocked if he sneaks into the first round. There's some conversations here, really post-Senior Bowl, that have leaned towards that way. Just a fundamentally really good football player, and I think someone with his background as a basketball player, the fluidity in his lower half, just the quickness as well, he's going to be a really good ball player for somebody for a long time. And I think if you do profile him in Buffalo to be that 1-2 alongside Keon, you're going to have a really dynamic tandem for a long time.
When it comes down to it, Buffalo does have a lot of different directions that they can go here starting at pick 30, whether it comes to defensive line or getting some more help within the secondary as well. I'm looking at corner and safety here for the Bills in the first two rounds to try to get someone that might be more of an impact player for a team that started using a lot more man coverage than they have in years past. When it comes to corners or safeties, who are some of your favorites at the end of round one and into round two?
Yeah, I think Siobhan Revel from East Carolina is a name. You know, I wanted to see him stay healthy this year. You know, the ways in which we saw Quinyon Mitchell play at Toledo and dominate and then go to the Senior Bowl and solidify him as a day one pick. We didn't see that from Siobhan this year. So for me right now, Siobhan's going to be in that second round, late second round bucket, but he's a name to know that absolutely is high on scouts' boards. But two guys specifically in the second round, Quincy Riley from Louisville and Dorian Strong, both from Virginia Tech, two ACC guys. And the biggest thing with corners, can you play man and can you run flat out? And both those guys can do both. And I really enjoyed seeing them both in the ACC this year live and at the Senior Bowl where they just showed up, competed. And in a scenario where, again, I mentioned earlier, guys, where wide receivers are set up to win one-on-ones, these corners made it tough on the wide receivers all week long. So both those guys, Quincy Riley from Louisville, Dorian Strong, from Virginia Tech, and as well another name, a longer kid, and Darian Porter from Iowa State had a lot of buzz as well, another versatile inside-out type of defender that also is really impressive in the ground game. Three names specifically, early portions of round two, middle portions of round two.
And for the Bills especially now, there seems to be a little bit of a transition from them going from such a zone-dominant defense to maybe more man, and how well they've been able to do getting later round cornerbacks, namely, of course, Christian Benford. He's really popped off for them. I could see that absolutely being something the Bills go for later. Ryan, maybe the meat and potatoes of this draft, I think for a lot of Bills fans as well, if they don't go and trade for a guy like Myles Garrett, is on the defensive line. And everything you hear about this draft class kind of from day one has been how deep and how talented, particularly this defensive tackle class is. I know for me personally, just from what I've seen, Mason Graham, I think, might be the best player of this draft class, albeit having not done a ton of homework on some of the other positions. What else have you seen from this defensive tackle class before we get into maybe specific guys?
Yeah, it is so deep, you know, and I think one thing, guys, about this draft class is, you know, you'll hear some people say it's not a great draft class, it's very top-heavy. Well, if you're a scouting staff and you trust what you can do from looking at players in all 3 days, you're going to find contributors all 3 days and even into the UDFA bucket, specifically along this defensive line, where really it is the deepest positional group along the interior and at edge. And when I look at Buffalo, you know, things that they've squished a little bit as far as their heavier type of edge rushers, to where you look at the Greg Rousseau's, you look at the A.J. Epinesa's, you know, they brought in Vaughn Miller as that 6'3", 245 type of twitchy edge rusher post that Super Bowl run for the Rams. There's some guys in this class, and I know we're going to get into it in a minute, but there's just a load of guys, specifically that day two, day three bucket, and in the interior, four, five, six names that I personally would have really in my top 60, 65 that may slip down to the fourth, fifth round potentially, just because, guys, how deep this class is at the position.
And I wonder if a guy, you know, Texas's Alfred Collins could maybe be somebody that slips just because, you know, that's just defensive tackle. I mean, you also got the edge rusher guys. One name that's really popped out to me, Ryan, and has maybe become my first draft crush is Kenneth Grant. I think he looks to be him and Graham, as I mentioned, just look to be unbelievable. And something that, you know, for me, I'm a Texas fan, having watched Matthew Golden sort of really elevate his game and seemingly fly up draft boards once Isaiah Bond got hurt and then never really got on the same page with Ewers at Texas. Bond, of course, still kind of considered, you know, a round two guy, but it felt like after like the Michigan game, he may have been, you know, a lock for the first round. I wonder what Kenneth Grant maybe would have been seen as if Mason Graham wasn't next to him and taking, you know, quote unquote, all the headlines. Is that something you've seen, and how do you feel about Grant as a whole?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up Kenneth Grant. I know he spent a lot of time down there with the Bills at the Shrine Bowl. You know, Kenneth didn't compete, but he had a lot of meetings from what I was told with Buffalo. So those two parties spent a lot of time with each other down there in Frisco. But Kenneth, I agree 100%. You know, you take Mason Grant out of there and playing hypotheticals, the spotlight on him is sensational. You know, I remember tweeting out a clip back in 2023 playing Penn State where he tracked down Tayshaun Allen from 20 yards of depth at 340 pounds. You know, that's the type of athlete that you're getting. But also, this isn't Mozzie Smith in that same bucket, right, to where you're coming out of Michigan, you're an athlete. But how can you marry that ability as a football player? And when you watch Kenneth, the ability to come in right now and stop the run, that's going to be there 100% to take on double teams too. But can you also rush the passer? Because coaches around the league say, hey, look, we could teach you to stop the run, but can you vertically push centers and guards on their backside and pressure the quarterback, as we saw in the Super Bowl with, of course, the Eagles and what they did to Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know that's a name that, you know, I don't want to mention too much here in Buffalo, but, you know, just as far as what Kenneth can do within the interior, be able to push and create pressure within the interior and force isolated matchups for your edge guys like Greg Rousseau moving forward and another guy probably going to add in this draft. I'm a big fan of Kenneth Grant. I don't think he gets out of the first round, even though there's been some prospect fatigue on the young man.
Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joining us here on the Western Hotline. Ryan, something that I've noticed the Bills do with draft trends almost every year, it seems like they try to find a way to snag a running back to keep rotating into the running back room year in and year out. Considering James Cook, his contract coming due at the end of next season, and the fact that he's looking for a pretty decent raise, makes me kind of suspect that the Bills might do this again. They took Ray Davis last year, and I do think that they're going to use a set like a day two or a day three pick, probably fourth round is my idea that I think the Bills will go running back here. While I'm looking a little too rich in the blood for players like a Trayvon Henderson or Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, what are some running backs that the Bills do you think would be probably eyeing up here in the middle rounds or even into the fourth, fifth round of this draft class?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be interesting, guys, considering because you look at James Cook's body type and the way he competes, and he's a very, very different type of ball carrier than what Ray Davis is that more of that bulking ball carrier. Now, if they go towards the Ray Davis type on day three, you're looking at guys like Phil Maffa from Clemson, who dealt with an injury this year, but had a lot of good conversations with scouts on him as far as, you know, they like the potential of him inside an RB workload as RB2 or an RB3, or are you going to go more of that James Cook type of role with a DJ Giddens from Kansas State, or even a guy I really like in this class, and that's Woody Marks from USC, you know, transfer from Mississippi State, experienced in two different conferences, really productive kid that also, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit as far as his ability to work inside the tackles and the vision that he has, but right away he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the field on third downs, and you've seen what a guy like Ty Johnson has had over the last 2 years for Buffalo. So I look at Woody Marks in that bucket and Phil Maffa specifically, two different body types that really you can parallel, like a guy like James Cook or a guy like Ray Davis.
Maybe not for the Bills, but I've always been curious now about Cam Scataboo and what he is going to be yep. for NFL teams. I mean, he kind of plays the game like an old-school football player that I know a lot of old-school coaches would probably love, but I have not seen him get necessarily the love of, you know, a first- or second-round guy, and it seems to be correct. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, there's some limitations in Cam's game. You know, you mentioned and you hit it on the nail as far as he is, you know, you could put Cam Scataboo in the 1960s and he fits right in. Put a leather helmet on him and he's going to run through people's chests. And I love the way he plays behind his pads, the physicality pops. He was really everything, of course, you know, for that Sun Devils offense this year, both on the ground and in space. But there are limitations, you know, working against front seven defenders at the NFL that are quicker, that are fast, that are also strong and can tackle their backsides off. I don't see him right away being an RB1 for a team where he has 25-plus touches in the game. Now, could he be an RB2 for somebody? I think that's his bucket right now, and I think that pushes him into that third round, maybe early day three type of bucket in this class to where it seems like every single week there's a guy that maybe jumps up in the class, and now as we're heading into Indy here in the next few days, you know, you're going to see guys run 4.4, 4.5. Cam Scataboo may run low 4.7s in that bucket. And just for teams, there are certain thresholds, kind of with the Bills like length at edge, that you have to meet for them to put you on the board. So I like Cam Scataboo as a fundamental football player, as a throwback type of guy. He's going to be able to expand a playbook. If I'm in a room and I see my team draft Cam Scataboo, I'm going to be kind of PO'd because he's someone that's going to steal snaps from me because of the way he competes his backside off every single snap, but there are limitations in his game that have to be provided for context with him because he's not going to be an RB1 dynamic top 10 running back in football right away.
Ryan, something that I always like to look at when it comes to like trends, everything like that. Last year was such an unprecedented run at the start of it with offense going within the first half of the first round, in particular quarterbacks. This quarterback class is not as highly touted, but I do see a lot of teams heading up there, hanging out there in the top five, the top 10. That is there possibly some aggression about getting a player, getting a signal caller within the top 10 that might alter the draft boards for a lot of teams?
Yeah, Jalen Milroe really is the name, right? You know, Cam and Shadur are very, very likely. You know, if I had to sit here right now and predict or bet my house on two guys who are going to go in the top 10, it's going to be Cam and Shadur. And I don't think that's making a statement at all. I think we all know that. But Jalen Milroe is really the name. You know, you look at Vegas, you look at what the Jets are going to do. What is New Orleans going to do with the position? You know, what's the future of Tua in Miami? You know, there's a lot of questions with those teams in there, that five and back. And Jalen is a guy to where I saw progression for him this year through the air. I know he's not perfect, and the Senior Bowl was not good for him, unfortunately. But the floor he has as an athlete and the ability to come in right away and just be able to expand the playbook and keep all 11 sets of eyes, on defense honest, is going to be something that teams are going to value. And he's going to absolutely kill the interview process, which is, you know, I know we talk a lot about the 40 and the vert and positional drills as far as in Indianapolis, but the interview process is the biggest thing when they get, you know, to sit down with these guys and talk to them. And Jalen's going to be sensational in those meetings, as he was in Mobile. So he's really a name, guys. That QB3 bucket, QB4, is it him? Is it Jackson Dart? I'm not on that train personally. I really like Tyler Shuck from Louisville. I think he's going to be a second-round guy at the end of the day, even though second-round guys, at the end of the day, you know, it's hard to it's just kind of like a unicorn, really. You don't see it a lot in the NFL, but Jalen Milroe, guys, there's one name in this QB class beyond Cam, beyond Shadur, to keep an eye on here in the first round.
I was so excited that you brought up Milrow's name. Our one of our afternoon hosts, Bulldog Chris Parker, he has a bet with our other afternoon host about Milrow being a top 16 pick. And it, personally, I'm not the biggest Milrow fan, but I like kind of the gusto and hearing you say that too. And especially because we're getting towards the combine, which that's where the physical traits get to pop off. And you know, Ryan, to your experience with the combine and all the draft stuff, I also feel like that's where everyone kind of actually figures out like where these draft boards are at. The Senior Bowl helps, but the combine sort of being that last spot before the pro days, it kind of feels like you're able to figure out really who are the loved guys and who might be slipping.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Really, this is the final boxes that these teams, you know, want to check. And even thinking back to my days in Washington, to how they finalized their draft boards, you know, you go into the combine, and I mentioned the interview process. It's just making sure you're solidifying everything. Do you have to dive back into the tape? Because a lot of times, you know, the GMs, the head coaches, they don't see these guys live throughout the year. It's the area scouts, it's the cross-checkers. So now they're seeing these guys live in Indy, how they carry themselves, how they speak to each other. Are they going to be a culture guy in the locker room, a leader in the locker room, both on the field as contributors? Indianapolis is really fun, away from just the positional drill. So I personally love getting up there to see guys, you know, expecting to run 4.4 and you run 4.6, so you have to dive back into the tape. But I'm not going to be a guy also, you know, that goes into this thing and says, hey, this guy ran 4.4 instead of running 4.6. I'm going to bump him up 50 picks. You know, I personally, for me, can't do that with years and years and years of tape on guys. But it's going to be a fun week. It always is. And really, as you said, it does allow teams to solidify their boards.
And Ryan, last thing for me here, I'm going to jump back to the defense here. I probably should have asked him for the defensive tackle guys, but I do want to touch on some of these edge rushers as well, because that is definitely potentially need for the Bills, especially when you hear all the Myles Garrett rumblings. People want it. But, you know, two guys that are maybe jumping out, mainly due to draft position, but also the Senior Bowl, Mike Green out of Marshall and then Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State. What have you seen from those two early on in this process?
Yeah, look, if you're Bean and you're sitting there and Mike Green's on the board, you sprint the card up. You know, I'm not sure he gets there to the back end of round one. You know, there's a lot of talk right now with him in that 10 to 17, 18 type of range. I personally don't see it as far as the 10, 11 range, but the biggest thing with Mike Green is, you know, you turn on the Ohio State tape, you turn on the Senior Bowl tape, you turn on his just fundamentally his pass rush clips, and it's outstanding. But one thing about Mike that is extremely underrated is his ability in the ground game. He gets after people. He can go through blocks, and he can also be a slasher at edge to where he's running down players from the backside too. So it's an underappreciated part of his game, and I've really enjoyed getting to know Mike a little bit as well during this process, away from the football player, and he's just a guy that's going to come in right away and compete his tail off as well. And then Jack Sawyer, you know exactly what you get in a high-floor type of player in Jack Sawyer. Now, the pass rush repertoire, I think, is going to continue to improve as the years go on. I think his ceiling is still probably 2-3 years away in that. But rundowns and competitiveness, high-motor type of guy, really good hand usage. He's got good bend at his size. And I just love the way he plays his hair on fire at edge. And you know from Ohio State, highly recruited kids, athletic profile is going to be there. Now, he's not going to wow at the combine or in his pro day or anything like that. But you just know what type of football player you're going to get. And I think if you're the Bills and you're Sean McDermott and you're looking for players right away, then you can look at and say, hey, come January of 2026, can we rely on you to create pressure in these big-time moments? And I think if you're sitting there with Mike Green, Jack Sawyer, both on the board, you just put their names in a hat, cover your eyes, and pick one out. You're going to have a good piece for a long, long time.
All right. There's some of those names to keep an eye on for really throughout the entire draft. Ryan, man, thank you so much for giving us so much of your time this morning. We're absolutely going to be touching base again here, so expect a phone call or a text here in the next few weeks as we get ready for that late April draft, man. Again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks as always, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Ryan.
And that was Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network there on the West Her Hotline. And I like some of those guys that he was talking about of, you know, it may not be necessarily the quote unquote, like the 2011 draft class, right, where it's just like guys, like there's all pros everywhere.
There's every one of you that's grabbing an edge rusher is going to have a great time.
But it feels like that's a lot of like NFL players. Like there was a few names that he mentioned there or that we even brought up that he mentioned kind of guys that just play the right way, hair on fire, you know, they get after it. Their potential might be a few years away, like you mentioned there with Jack Sawyer, but then, yeah, like guys like Kenneth Grant, where you're sitting there going, it might be now, and they could be really, really good for you. And I'm excited at the idea of Milrow.
Yeah, you know,
I am so excited at the idea of that.
Yeah, Milrow is going to be an ultimate wild card, like Ryan said. But there's something that I'm going to be fascinated about, even though he's probably the presumptive top pick. I do wonder what Travis Hunter's workout regimen is going to be at the combine.
Yeah. I didn't want to ask Ryan about them yet, like the top guys, yeah. Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter and such, because I'm like, let's wait for the combine to finish out. Let's see what everyone's talking about, because that's going to be a thing too with Hunter. He's doing DB drills at the combine.
Yeah.
So like that's the thing. He's like, all right, so he's solidifying himself there. Is a team going to be willing to take
a corner at one,
exactly, with like a few, throw-ins here and there at wide receiver, especially after watching the Super Bowl. While, yes, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean played a big role for the Eagles, the defensive line was the star of that. And you wonder how much a team like, well, the bad teams of the NFL.
The Tennessee Titans sitting at one.
Focus too much on that and go, well, never mind, we're just going to take a quarterback and worry about it later. And Hunter, I don't want to say falls, but just is not the number one overall pick.
Yeah, like, ready? Does he make it to New England?
New England's at four, right?
Yeah, and New England primarily needs receiver more than they do corner.
And, I mean, they could argue for themselves, too. We just need talent.
Yeah.
And they could just argue that we'll use them everywhere. We need talent? You seemingly have the stamina to do this.
Mike Vrabel's not scared to do unconventional.
Yeah, I think the top – I always like when the top half of the draft are like the first five or six picks.
And that was why I wanted to call
like a clear-cut quarterback.
That's why I wanted to call into question about like what could the quarterbacks, even with a bad or a subpar class, could they still throw the disruption like last year's class did? I don't think any of us saw six of them going in the top half of the draft.
No, and especially guys like Michael Penix into Atlanta specifically.
And then you look at the top seven teams, so many of them need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're looking at Titans, Browns, Giants, Raiders, Jets.
Raiders might be the fun one for me at six, where that maybe frees up a lot of the first half of the draft if all of a sudden they go Milroe or Jackson Dart. And that's the thing, too. You know, Ryan's not necessarily someone that's a Jackson Dart guy, but we could end the combine, and he's like, nah, we got four, maybe five quarterbacks here in the first round. And you mentioned it, too, with the Bills potentially being at pick 30.
Even New Orleans at nine.
Yeah.
That'd be a team like,
oh, yeah.
Especially with their cap troubles. I'd invest in a quarterback if I can at the first moment. But then again, if they're going to be that bad this year with their cap issues, then you're probably looking at another top five pick.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. What draft prospects are you looking at here with the NFL Combine getting started next week? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to Northtown Automotive.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Next Point Show on WGR.
Sanders gonna run it. Still on his feet. Still running. Finally pushed out of bounds at the 27-yard line.
That is Colorado's Shedeur Sanders, considered one of the top two quarterback prospects in a relatively weak quarterback class. Him along with Cam Ward out of Miami. Just talked with Draft Network's Ryan Fowler. And he mentioned another name in there, a third name that could be really fun to keep an eye on. I know our afternoon host, Bulldog, is keeping an eye on him. Jalen Milroe out of Alabama. A lot of physical traits. He is not a small guy by any means either, 6'2", 225. Really productive career at Alabama. Again, the traits off the chart. And then also another guy that Ryan was not necessarily a big fan of, but I have seen a lot of talk for him, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. And Derek, when I look at this quarterback class, and you mentioned it today, the idea of, is there another run here of quarterbacks, especially off of last year where, I mean, who missed really? Caleb Williams didn't have a great year, but the only you could argue it was more the coaching around him.
The bigger the miss, though, was honestly McCarthy for not knowing what you were going to get right away.
Having no idea what you're going to get, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of managerial malpractice from Atlanta. Having signed Kirk Cousins, then drafting Michael Penix.
And then waiting for like a month and a half of Kirk Cousins then, throwing one touchdown
but also,
Penix in.
Yeah, waiting 3 weeks too late to put Penix in to try to save their season. Ultimately, they fall one game short because of that fact. So I do suspect that like teams sometimes get overly excited about drafting a quarterback to a point where it becomes a flaw. And yes, it does look like, as you said, who missed? Then again, where are the hits outside of the potential of Sanders and Ward?
No, and I think that's the big thing is you looked at
there's
last year's quarterback class.
There's a lot of mystery.
Yeah, last year's quarterback class was much more different because it was last year Caleb Daniels and May were all considered, hey, any other year they're probably the number one pick. Caleb's just in the way. And then you had J.J. McCarthy, who I've always said if he played anywhere but Michigan, he's probably way more loved as a prospect. But he did everything he could at Michigan and won a lot. And he was a coach's dream.
I was the one that was like, really? McCarthy in the top 10?
I'm a big McCarthy guy.
And then Nick's going was kind of the big – like Penix going where he went and Nick's going as soon as he went. Those were the surprises to me.
Yeah, so ultimately five quarterbacks go in the top 12, Bo Nix being the 12th pick to the Denver Broncos. I don't think you're going to have five guys taken in the top 15.
Wasn't it six?
Am I miscounting?
They were the top three, then McCarthy, Penix, Nix.
Oh, six. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, so six go in the top 12.
Which was nasty work, by the way.
And I don't think you're going to see six go again in 25 in that run.
But do we sneak a third or a fourth one into the first round and affect draft boards to a point where the Bills benefit from this?
And ultimately, looking at last year's draft, it was 1, 2, 3. Those are the first three picks. This year, Tennessee, we just mentioned, they could go Travis Hunter. They could go Abdul Carter. I've mentioned Mason Graham.
They could go Shedeur Sanders.
They could go Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. It's same with Cleveland. It's same with the Giants. Patriots, no. Jacksonville, no. Raiders, yes. Jets, yes. Carolina, no. Saints, yes. Chicago, no. Then you get to the 49ers at 11.
Maybe.
Could they be a team that goes?
Probably not.
I agree, probably not.
Mostly because they have a lot of things with an aging roster that they want to cycle out.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the owner has outright mentioned they want Purdy there for years to come.
Yes.
But you never know. It could be smokescreen season. They all of a sudden are like, Quinn Ewers, 11th pick in the draft.
Yes. But like, by the way, how would you feel if Quinn Ewers ends up a first-round pick?
Depends on where he goes.
Like, would you be surprised at all if he ends up
in the first round? I'd be horrified. But it depends on where he goes that I'd be like, there might be a chance they can salvage that. I think the Rams, I think the 49ers could be two teams because of the West Coast, or because of the Kyle Shanahan system, excuse me, that they could make it work. The more just, hey, hit the read that I'm telling you to go hit. He's got the arm talent. He has the high moments. Get him with a good coach.
And I do think that really the quarterback position would benefit the Bills more so in the second round, I think, than the first.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting that we have to think about that because teams do overdraft quarterbacks. That is just a reality within life now. Like, when Daniel Jones got taken with the fourth overall pick, that was one of the biggest shocks that you could see.
The most stunning thing ever, if you really want to do it, and it's always fun, is go look at anybody's like top 150, top 100 players in a draft. And there's a lot of years where the top quarterback will be like at the earliest, like 25, 26.
Right.
And it's just because it's like, well, their value is so different that they will get taken a lot. Now, that's not true for every year. There are some years where it's like the quarterback's the best player in the draft, no, full stop, and it's the generational guys and what have you. But you'll also have
those
years.
Are typically your first quarterbacks overall.
Exactly. But then you also have years like this year where, you know, Cam and Shedeur might be the first or second overall pick. They might be both of them right there. But they are not considered
on the
by any
board,
means
the
like best
the
players. Exactly. And it's just all of a sudden it opens up the draft board, I think, for everybody. And I do look at a team like the Raiders or the Saints at 6 and 9, respectively, of changing the dynamic of the draft. And why I brought that up with Ryan there towards the end of our conversation of, you know, finding out a lot of stuff at the combine. You start to with the Senior Bowl. That's all of a sudden where, you know, a guy like Mike Green out of Marshall went from somebody that was probably in like the second round, late second round even, to all of a sudden now you're hard pressed to find a mock draft that he's not gone by the pick of 25. You know, at the latest. The same can be true of the combine, where I now won't be surprised if come Monday in 2 weeks, if following the combine, that the first mock draft is all of a sudden Jalen Milroe gets taken 6th overall by the Raiders. And it's like, well, they had a big meeting with him. He had a ton of meetings with teams, and everything we're hearing is everyone loved how he performed. You know, look at another guy, DK Metcalf, from a number of years ago at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
He ultimately is not taken in the first round. He's taken late second round.
The end, yeah.
But what was after the combine? He's a top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
His only issue is his agent didn't tell him to not run the 3-cone drill.
Yeah.
That was his only issue.
And I do think that ultimately benefited him in the end when it came to going to a team that would use his talents properly.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle has done a good job with him overall. And I do think that he ended up in a good place. Not that his talent couldn't have thrived in a lot of places, but like I do think Pete Carroll at that time was probably one of the right coaches for him.
Even Russell Wilson as a quarterback at that time.
At that time, they were the right guys.
Throw just, you know, bombs away.
Have a guy that can bombs away for you. Utilize that skill set.
Yep.
Like there were probably some floundering franchises that could have like torpedoed him right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that was again right place to go at the right time for him. But it was, again, a major surprise that a talent like that, because I remember that draft night. I was pounding the table for the Bills to take DK Metcalf at 9.
Oh, we all were.
Remember, and that Oliver, which I was still thrilled about.
But that was a 2-month run where it's like, I mean, do you take – look, he's a specimen. I mean, that was the whole thing.
He's so good.
You know, he's getting comparisons because of his combine performance to the likes of Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss. And you're like looking – and to be fair, even now, you'll every now and then hear about like the Bills to trade for DK Metcalf. You will still hear it because he has become a very good NFL wide receiver.
He still has physical talent and skill sets that are nice for any team to add.
But, I mean, that's what the combine is. It builds up the rumors. Now, again, I fully believe he fell for that reason, which was
absolutely.
The three-cone drill and the feeling that it was going to limit what he could be in the NFL. And to your point, like you mentioned, Seattle was like, cool, why would he run any of those routes? He's bigger and faster than guys. We're going to use that rather than
use that size and that speed to maximize his potential.
But a bad team probably is like, you gotta do all these things. You can't do it. Like, well, what's going on? And it's like, well, know who you're picking, you know how you're, and that's true of, we talk about it a lot with quarterbacks. Landing spot sort of means everything. It's the same with every position. Landing spot means everything.
A landing spot is difference sometimes in a player's career of ultimately what makes them and what breaks them.
Yeah. I mean, here, perfect example is a guy like an Aaron Rodgers.
I got a fun question for you, and this is kind of going to derail the conversation that we're having, so I do apologize. Do you think the Titans actually make the pick?
Ooh, I had not even really thought about that much.
Considering that,
I'm going to go yes.
Considering that, like, the quarterbacks aren't the best prospects at the position, like at the draft class, but all it takes is one team who desperately thinks that someone is.
I'm going to go with yes, mainly because I don't think there will be enough teams willing to make like the big move that. You got to do that for a quarterback. I don't think any of the quarterbacks will wow anybody that much. I think they will make the pick. I don't think it will be a quarterback. I do think they'll go into next year with Will Levis.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Which, this might be
bad. No.
This might be bad on me. I think it's going to be Will Levis or Aaron Rodgers. That's their starting quarterback next year.
Oh, give me more reason to hate the Titans, please.
And I think they're going to be a team, a lot like the Patriots, where we are just taking the best player on our board. We need talent. We need young talent. We are taking the best guy. Tennessee's in the perfect position. They can go get their guy. And that's my thing, too, with New England, where I wonder how much it actually would have hurt them or would have helped them, excuse me, getting the number one overall pick, because same with Tennessee. I wonder how many teams actually would have been calling to get a quarterback knowing New England won't take one.
Yeah, I'm really more or less thinking about the fact of, like, I do suspect that, like, I don't know, maybe the Giants might try to do something to, like, shuffle up a couple picks just to make sure that the Browns don't get someone that they want. There's some sort of like intrigue to me about, I don't know if Tennessee makes that pick, but you're right. It might be the market and typically how much the first overall pick has cost over recent years that if you're going to get a return, it's going to be a little bit disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you might want to try to influence the board a little bit. Especially because the Titans only have a first and a second, and then they don't have a third round pick at all.
No.
They go from 35 to 101. Ooh. They want, if you want to supplement the draft class, that's a good way to do it.
That might change my opinion. I didn't realize they was that
steep. That's why I wanted to ask. Ooh. Because there is some extra nuance to
and
this.
And you're right. Like a team like the Giants just jumping up from 3 to 1.
Or even, ready? I can't believe I'm saying this. New Orleans.
Going from 9 to 1? Oh, gosh.
If they wanted
that is a jump.
Like, say they wanted a quarterback, they were sold on someone, and they know that they've got a little bit of you've got to eat it a little bit for years to come with the salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
Why not try to get a guy that you believe in right now?
Right, and get him cheap now. Work through your issues.
Work through your issues.
You're in a position too, and this has always been my problem with the Chicago Bears.
And you know,
and they're drafting quarterbacks is they don't have a dead man walking coach. Where,
yeah,
what are we doing here? You're going to fire the guy at the end of the year anyways. Kellen Moore's in his first year, and New Orleans knows we're in a bad spot. We're not competitive. We need to get through these cap issues.
We need to sell this season to the fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, selling Derek Carr another year is not going to do it.
Selling Derek Carr in the worst cap situation in the National Football League is probably not the greatest thing in the world. What puts buns in seats for me if I'm New Orleans? You make a splash. You know who else makes a splash and has been really making bad decisions lately? Jerry Jones.
Oh, I think Ashton Gentry is a Dallas Cowboy already.
But that
I'm completely serious.
But that could influence like a trade into like the top 5 or top 10 for Dallas. So...
Could you imagine he trades in the top 5 to draft Gentry?
there was a lot.
Oh my goodness.
There was a lack of movement last year because the board was falling perfectly for so many teams.
Yeah, everyone was getting exactly what they wanted.
I think that it's not even going to be close to the case at this point, and I think that teams will have to do things and move mountains around to get players that they want.
It helps when the quarterback class is kind of up in the air. That's what allows for
including it. At quarterback, when it looks like there's really only two guys that everyone's agreeing are going to get taken in the first round in the top half of the draft.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer with you here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Wednesday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. So, Derek, we were talking a lot in that last segment and in the break of the number one overall pick. What's Tennessee going to do? And I think we've now discovered maybe like the perfect plan for them.
Yeah, the little discussion that we had about does Tennessee trade the pick kind of brought in an off-air revelation from you, Zach, that that sounds fun to close the show off with, which is, what about Sam Darnold?
Yeah, Darnold's going to be a Tennessee Titan. I am writing that in ink in my predictions. I think he's going to be a Tennessee Titan.
And that would also give Tennessee a little bit more courage to trade down.
Because then it becomes, let's build around this quarterback.
Can Darnold be Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, you'll put a little bit of money, less money because of those last two games, but you'll put money into him. He's got an offensive coach who worked with Joe Burrow, and now...
You work for that trade down.
Ultimately, it's going to be the Giants. Because the Giants are the other
big
Darnold.
Or you shrug your shoulders and go, Travis Hunter's cool.
Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter... And whoever the best like guy is on your board that you're like, he helps us the most right now.
It will be interesting to see how Tennessee works Hunter.
And looking at the available cap space, I think the Giants are really like a big team that kind of like flashes at you of like who could go get Darnold. They're right around the same in terms of cap space, just right now looking at available cap space today.
And if I'm Darnold, no thank you. I'm not going back to New York.
Well, I'm not going back to the New York market. We talked about that. But also, I'm not dealing with Jaden Daniels and the Philadelphia Eagles, plus the Giants market, which is going to crucify me if I don't immediately become the best quarterback.
Especially
because
the last time I was here, I was
the pariah of a badly run organization.
Driven out of town, thanks to a bad organization.
Where instead you go to Tennessee, where Houston looks like they have a quarterback and not much else. Jacksonville is on to their next head coach. Sorry, their third head coach trying to fix Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And the Colts, who... are they ever going to figure out quarterback post Andrew Luck?
Continue to be like spinning their tires.
And I would argue two of the four teams legitimately have bad NFL owners in the Colts and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
If I'm – and this is purely play but also pay because of where they're at with the Giants as well. If I'm Darnold, I'm dealing with the Nashville media rather than the New York media. I'm dealing with a bad division. And my team's going to have the number one overall pick. They can add kind of whatever's going to help me, whether it be a talent on the defense or talent on the offense. It's Tennessee. They're not going for Rodgers. They're going for Darnold.
That would actually really make sense. And then especially with like the Rodgers thing, like Pittsburgh's the one that everyone's hearing the most about or like projecting the most about. Also, I could look at NFL teams and say, is he worth the headache anymore?
And the answer for most of them probably will be absolutely not. That's going to do it for us today. Coming up next, Sabres Live, as the Sabres got back to practice yesterday. Four Nations face-off wrapping up tomorrow. We'll get you guys over to those guys coming up after a quick timeout. This is WGR.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.